Greetings and welcome back, Dr. Taher.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show. You're doing great, and I hope you keep on doing great.
Well, with guests like you, I can't go wrong. I also want to welcome our Green Warriors that are coming in today. Green Warrior, do you know someone affected by heart disease, whether it's a friend or a family member or even yourself? And what about women? Do you know any women that are affected by this? Or maybe women that may be affected and they don't even know it? Well, Dr. Taher is going to teach us what we can do to prevent and even reverse heart disease. And I want to encourage you, Green Warrior, to tell us in the comments what questions or concerns that you have about women's heart disease. Just type it in the comments and we're going to bring those questions up for Dr. Taher a little bit later. Now, before we begin, I'm really excited because Dr. Taher, as we talked about in the intro, he has a great book called Open Heart, and it's something that everybody should read that wants to know about heart disease, and you also learn about his journey with heart disease as well. And it is just my honor to offer this book because we are going to be hosting a book giveaway next week. We're going to start later on today, and it's going to give you the chance to win a copy of this insightful and empowering read. So stay tuned for more details on how to participate and join us in spreading the knowledge and inspiration for better heart health. Now, Dr. Taher is geared up. He's going to be doing a presentation for us coming up really soon now. And before we begin, I'm just going to play a quick game of true or false.
It's time for True or False on Be Green with Amy Live. Answer true or false to Amy's questions in the comments below, and Amy will ask our guest for the expert answer.
Okay, I just want to say one true or false question, and then we're going to get into the learning. So Dr. Taher is going to tell us the answer, but you guys are going to type in your answer, your guess for this answer first, and he'll probably go into much more detail during his presentation. So true or false, women are less likely to experience heart disease compared to men. So type in what your guess is, Green Warriors. And Dr. Taher, you can give us a brief answer and then go into detail with your presentation.
See, women are more likely to experience less discomfort or chest pain than men have, because there are many subtle and vague symptoms that women have. So they're overlooked by women.
And that's why we are talking about this today. It is just so important to, and we're going to unwrap this and learn more about it. And we're already getting people coming in to watch this. So I'm so excited. Did you just want to jump into your presentation now, Dr. Taher?
Absolutely. Green Warriors, I want to wish you a very happy, heart-healthy awareness month. This is February. February is a heart month. But shocking it is to me that right now only 44% of the women in the U.S. are aware of the fact that heart disease is the number one killer of women today. And it was slowly rising. The awareness was rising all over these years, except in 2009, when it suddenly went down. We don't know why. The awareness became less and less. And in 2019, we find that only 44% of the people believe, women believe, that heart disease is a leading cause of death. That means 66% of the women in the U.S. are not aware that heart disease kills, and it is the leading cause of death. So what I would like to do right at the start, please, whoever is listening, the Green Warriors, please spread this message out to as many women as you can so that everybody's aware that it is the leading cause of death in the US, heart disease. So, why heart disease in a woman is so often missed or dismissed? We shall start by exploring why heart disease so often missed by women and dismissed by doctors. Then we shall go into understanding the mechanics of coronary artery blockages. Then we shall delve into reasons why it took so long to figure out that women were dying of heart disease at the same rate as men. This is a bit of a history, but it is interesting to note that. Then we shall examine the vague symptoms of heart disease in women and understand how heart attack symptoms can often differ between men and women. Then we shall go on to discuss the impact of the small, tiny, micro blood vessels, arteries, which block in the heart muscle in women, more so causing heart attacks. Not your coronary artery, but small arteries in your heart muscle. And then we shall go into consider pregnancy-related complications that can cause increased cardiovascular disease later on in life. And then finally, we shall discuss the relationship between menopause and heart disease. So, women are more likely to miss the warning signs of a heart attack, sometimes waiting for hours or longer before dialing 911 or going to the ER. They may not have the typical excruciating chest pain that they are aware of, they've seen in movies, they've heard of, but only vague and subtle symptoms. So they think it is not their heart, it's something else. And when women go to the hospital, the doctors are more likely to downplay the vague symptoms and send them away home, saying it may be something else, maybe it's gas. So we go on to let me tell you, categorically, it is heart disease is the leading cause of death in the US and worldwide for both men and women, and it kills more people than all the cancers combined. Even during the COVID period, we had more heart disease deaths than COVID. It is that important for us to realize and recognize and accept this. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this heart of ours. You know, it's the size of your heart is the size of your fist. Each day, the heart pumps 2 gallons of blood, and it beats 100,000 times, pumping this blood into every organ and tissue of your body, oxygenated rich blood. So, for example, in a 75-year lifetime, that's me, I'm 75 years old, my heart has already beaten more than 2.5 billion times. So when the heart does so much work, how do we protect the heart? We need to protect this jewel lying in our chest. That is done by the coronary arteries. The right coronary artery, the left one which goes down, and the one which goes behind the heart is called the circumflex. Now, this particular artery, the left anterior descending artery, it is called the LAD, is known as a widow maker. Why? Because for the longest time, heart disease was thought to be a man's disease. Right in the 60s, 70s, It was always thought to be a man's disease. That is what we learned in medical school at that time. And that was what was in all our textbooks. But folks, in 2020, 315,000 women died of coronary artery disease. That is one in five deaths. And 16% of the women over the age of 20 years have already started having some sort of coronary artery disease. So I would say that it is not only a widow maker, but it is a widower maker, meaning that it can kill a woman and leave her spouse as a widower. Now, let me just go to understanding the mechanics, what we talked about, this coronary arteries. How do they get blocked? This is common for both men and women. Okay, we'll come up for women's this thing, but right now, let us understand the broad concept of how it causes blockages in coronary arteries. So let's look at this little cross-section of a coronary artery. This inner lining, which is called the endothelium, this produces a very powerful substance, nitric oxide. And this nitric oxide keeps the coronary artery dilated, keeps the blood flowing smoothly in the lumen, and protects the arterial wall so that it remains supple and elastic, so that arteries do not get hardened to cause high blood pressure later on in life. But now, what happens when you have a rich, unhealthy diet? Standard American diet? Dairy, eggs, meat, carbonated sugar drinks. Look at this. Fried chicken, French fries soaked in oil, donuts, burgers, cheese. Or for that matter, a junk food vegan diet, like we have it in India. You got processed foods, oils, saturated fats, sugar, yogurt, creams, paneer. Paneer is the Indian cheese. Saturated fat. Trans fats, which are not allowed here, but in India it is okay. And then we have ghee, which is called the clarified butter. Ghee oxidizes, increases oxidized cholesterol 10 times more than regular oil. So what happens when you have food like this? It damages your endothelium, the one which we talked about, the inner lining. Nitric oxide levels drop, and now the bad actors lying in the shadows, the fibrin, the calcium, the cholesterol, come right in here forming a gooey stuff and forming a plaque. Now, this plaque takes years to form, decades to form. So once it narrows the artery to an extent that the blood flow is compromised. And when it is compromised to an extent that you get chest pain on exertion, we call this as angina. But make no mistake, this endothelial lining is in all your arteries, millions of miles of arteries which are running in your body. So if you have, say, a plaque in your brain arteries, you can get a stroke. If it's in your leg arteries, you can get claudication and leg pain. If it is in your penile arteries, you can get erectile dysfunction. And folks, people who have erectile dysfunction, that is the reason being vascular, there is a good chance that they may get heart disease within 5 years of being diagnosed of erectile dysfunction. Now, what I told you about takes decades. That's angina, not a heart attack. So once you have this plaque formation that we showed you, we also have new blood vessels, collaterals around the brain, around the heart. And these collaterals go distally, further away from the blockage, and always supply the heart some kind of blood. So your heart is never devoid of total blood flow. And therefore, there is a chance, but very little chance of getting a heart attack, as opposed to a heart attack. And what happens in a heart attack? These are young, friable clots which rupture suddenly, forming clots or emboli, moving clots, suddenly block certain part of the heart. This, folks, is a heart attack when 50% die with the first heart attack. Now here, you're going immediately to the emergency room, you have excruciating chest pain, your blood work is done, you're having a heart attack, your EKG shows you're having a heart attack, you're taken to the cath lab, the clots are removed, boom, 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 and the stents are put in, and if the stents fail, what happens? You get bypass surgery. Now, I, for one, have had stents and have had open heart bypass surgery. Had I known then what I know and understand today, I've said this before, I would have looked at other options like whole food, plant-based SOS diet. I would have looked for other options. Now, I'm not asking the viewers to do that. Please talk to your cardiologists, to your doctors, but ask them, that I have angina, I didn't have a heart attack. Like you, if you don't have a heart attack, are there any options? Where can I go? What are the other things possible? But that is between you and your doctor. I would have done things differently. So we come to a very interesting kind of slide. This is two diseases. Breast cancer and heart disease, heart attacks. More women die of coronary artery disease compared to breast cancer at all ages, from young 15 to 24 to 25, 44, 45 to 64, and 65 and above. Now, I'm not trying to undermine breast cancer, but we have to be as good as breast cancer awareness campaign to address this crisis. Think about it for a moment. You'll always know someone, often a young woman, who has been impacted with breast cancer. But we often can't think of a young woman who has heart disease. Why? Because heart attacks kills people very quickly, suddenly. So the first time a heart attack strikes in women, half of them die with the first heart attack. There is no opportunity, like in a breast cancer patient, to say goodbyes, no opportunity to take her to the chemotherapy, no opportunity to help her pick out a wig, because half the time women die of a heart attack. You know, breast cancer mortality is down to less than 4%. And that is the 45 years that women got up in arms, talked about breast cancer awareness and campaigning that something should be done. You know, Betty Ford, Nancy Reagan, these are our first ladies, stood up and said, I am a breast cancer survivor. And it was okay to talk about breast cancer. And then, of course, the physicians and the researchers and the scientists went to work. And we have done the research. We have effective therapies now. Women are living longer than ever. That has to happen in heart disease. And folks, it is time. Why did it take so long to figure out that women were dying at the same rate as men of heart disease. Okay, look at the graph. Okay, the blue line is the male mortality, and the red line is a female mortality. Now, if you look at properly, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, as I told you before, it was thought to be, heart disease was thought to be a man's disease. So you saw men dying more than women. Like I said, this is what we were taught in medical schools. Then we realized in mid-1980s, 83 and 84, that more and more women were dying of heart disease, two or three or four times more than men. And the male mortality was going down, 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 but the female mortality was going up, 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 and the gap was widening. So what this suggested at the national level was that the diagnostic, you diagnose heart disease, and the therapeutic strategies developed in men, for men, and by men for the last 50 years worked pretty well in men, but weren't working so well for the women. This was a big wake-up call at the national levels in the 80s. And then they started doing research of women were dying equally. Even now, the research is not as much as the research is being done in men. So we come across a common scenario of what can happen if you have a typical heart attack. I always call it the Hollywood or the Bollywood type of an heart attack, where you have crushing chest pain as if an elephant is sitting on your chest or a balloon is about to burst and you are having dizziness and you're sweating. And this is a heart attack that can happen to both men and women. But folks, 60% of the women may have different subtle symptoms, unlike men. They may be very vague. They may have a jaw pain. They may have shortness of breath, chest discomfort, not pain, or tightness, backache, neck pain, upper back pain, extreme fatigue and nausea. So, and then along with this, the lightheadedness and dizziness. So let's put this picture so that it is in your mind, and then I shall explain to you. So look at this. Here you have a woman who's so fatigued as if she has run a marathon. A woman who is short of breath, having jaw pain, neck pain, upper back pain, shoulder pain. Now I want you to carefully, for the next few minutes, try and understand this. You see, more than half of the women who have a heart attack don't recognize its symptoms. People have this idea, as I told you, of a Hollywood type of a heart attack. So when people don't have that classical symptom that they've seen or heard about, they think, well, this must be something else. Now, on the same grounds, each time you get a backache or shoulder pain, I don't want you to run to the emergency room. But let me explain to you what you have to remember is, do not ignore out of the blue issues. The take-home message here is to pay attention to changes and patterns in your body. Let me give you an example. If you are prone to indigestion and just ate a spicy meal, the burning in your chest is likely a heartburn. But say you're used to spicy meals and you don't have a problem. And if it comes out of the blue and the symptoms get worse, especially as you walk around or exercise, that's a real warning sign that it is not your gastrointestinal, but is something more than that. Similarly with a back pain or upper back pain or shoulder pain, if you stretch your muscle or if you take an anti-inflammatory, it gets better, okay. But no, if it does not, it has not happened to you before. I'm suddenly getting this. For days, I'm not getting better. Something is happening. Warning sign. You know, we had a patient who had a toothache. And she had been going to every dentist. And everybody ruled out that it was not her teeth. Till finally, she was found to have a heart disease. So remember, out of the blue, do not ignore out of the blue issues and pay attention to the changes in pattern in your body. Now, silent heart attack, more common in women. Some people truly experience no symptoms, understated or otherwise, when they have a heart attack. Especially diabetics, again common in women. We have nerve issues that interfere with pain signals called neuropathy, diabetic neuropathy. For example, they're at a higher risk of having a literally a silent heart attack. Now remember, even if a doctor thinks a woman is having a heart attack, the event of an heart attack may not show up on a standard test that looks for protein in the blood when you are in the ER, which are called the troponins that are released when the heart muscle is damaged. This heart attack screening tool is not as specific in women as it is in men. Again, why? Because all the tests were done using men. Women generally have lower baseline levels of troponin anyway to start with than men. And the threshold levels set for diagnosing a heart attack were initially based on studies predominantly involving men. So now you have more sensitive troponin tests are currently being used in the UK, as well as probably in the US, some centers. Having one of these tests, we are talking about the sensitive troponin test, boosted women's odds of getting a heart attack diagnosis by 42%. And also, there is a difference in how men and women are treated following a heart attack. As many studies over the years have shown, they're less likely to get stents or clot bursting therapy. They're less likely to be sent to the rehab after that. So we go to another topic, which is very interesting, and I wish all of you would be aware of this. This is also common in women. How can women have heart attacks without having any blocked coronary arteries? We talked about the coronary arteries, right? So here are your coronary arteries, okay? Now, these branch out into very small, minute, tiny blood vessels, which are called micro blood vessels. Okay? Now, what happens is that these are so tiny, they come out from the coronaries and they get constricted, blocked, or tightened up so that that too small to be seen by an angiogram, which sees the coronary arteries, only sees the larger blood vessels. So you could be having a blockage of one of these microvascular arteries in the muscles. After it has gone away from the coronary arteries into tiny blood vessels, and you cannot diagnose by doing an angiogram because it only diagnoses coronary artery blockages. So the proper test is a coronary reactive testing. It lasts for about 60 to 90 minutes. The doctors first measure blood flow in the heart and then inject a drug that makes the arteries dilate, the small arteries, and increases the blood flow in your heart. If the blood flow does not rise, the patient has most likely microvascular disease, blockages of these arteries. Again, the cornerstone of treatment is your whole food, plant-based, no oil, SOS diet. Exercise does open up these arteries. Of course, doctors use vasodilators and all. We are not going to go into that. But a whole food, plant-based, SOS diet, and exercise does help in this. Then we come across coronary vasospasm. Now, we are not talking about small vessels. We are talking your large coronary artery. They do not have any plaques, but they go into a vasospasm that reduces, it constricts, reduces the blood supply to the heart, causing chest pain and other symptoms similar to a heart attack. More common in women. It can happen during transition from sleep to waking due to stress and anxiety, hyperventilation. It can be triggered with cold weather, legal and illegal drugs, like cocaine and amphetamines. But remember, in a relatively healthy individual, a single episode of coronary vasospasm here does not have long-term consequences. But in coronary artery vasospasm, the angiogram, again, the one which sees coronary arteries will be completely normal. Then you come across broken heart syndrome, mostly found in women 50 to 70 years old, a condition that can cause rapid but reversible heart muscle weakness, not permanent damage to your muscles of the heart. It can be caused by emotional or physical stress. So emotional stress can be anything, fear, grief, anger, sudden surprise, physical maybe, stroke, seizure, difficulty in breathing, low blood sugar. Your symptoms can mimic symptoms of a heart attack. Chest pain, shortness of breath, sweating. What is the cause? You see, it is thought that when you experience an acute stressful event, either physical or emotional, you can produce hormones like adrenaline and noradrenaline. And heart muscle can be overwhelmed by these sympathetic nervous system hormones, which are massive amount of adrenaline, causing narrowing of the small arteries that we talked about, tiny arteries that supply the heart muscle with the blood, causing a temporary decrease of blood flow to the heart. As I said, completely reversible. Okay. Complications during pregnancy that are associated with increased cardiovascular risk later on in life. So you have hypertension, tensive related conditions like gestational hypertension, which occurs later on in pregnancy, but is completely resolves 2 weeks after pregnancy. You can have preeclampsia, which is, you know, when you have swelling in your protein in the urine and you got very much high blood pressure, you are advised strict bed rest. Then you have gestational diabetes, which occurs 4% of all pregnancies, resolves 6 weeks after delivery. Preterm and stillbirths, prior pregnancy complications, and polycystic ovarian syndrome, where your irregular periods, obesity, high blood pressure, high androgen male hormones, and insulin. All these, with the exception, we are not talking about PCOS, but these are the result. And that's the problem. Because once it resolves, patients think that they're cured. But these are the women that have to be going on a routine examination every year or so. Because they are the ones that have increased cardiovascular risk later on. So it is extremely important that these women do. Now, they have also found that the clues can be found in a damaged placenta when you have this. And it shows increased risk. And therefore, I think that anybody who has all these, especially the hypertension and the diabetes, you, whenever it is resolved, remember, the risk is still there. Okay. Menopause. These are effects of low levels of estrogen. Get hot flashes and night sweats, sleep disturbances. Hot flashes and night sweats are related to your high blood pressure. You get increased at menopause, you get increased risk of developing disease in your tiny blood vessels. And then you get the metabolic syndrome in menopause. It increases your abdominal fat, the visceral obesity. Your good cholesterol goes down, your triglycerides go up, your blood pressure and blood pressure increases, blood sugar increases, and depression sets in. And you get increased sensitivity to salt during this time. So your chances of blood pressure increases. Now, what they found was that if there are genetic factors or risk factors like smoking or high blood pressure, then your likelihood of getting an early menopause is there. And this early menopause, say at the age of 40 or 45, can increase the risk of heart disease, while natural menopause has lower risk. What you have to remember is you got to be proactive, be healthy with lifestyle changes during your midlife prior to getting to perimenopause and menopause are important to mitigate or negate the cardiovascular risk of menopause. Now, estrogen replacement therapy, again, these are views that I'm telling you. But please talk to your doctor before making any changes. I'm not asking you to do that. But estrogen replacement therapy can have harmful effects of estrogen, like your stroke, breast cancer, your deepened thrombosis where you have clots in your legs and cardiovascular disease. So use natural remedies. See, I've written in my book, The Phytoestrogen. It's a naturally occurring compound found in plants which mimics estrogen in the body. So like your soybeans, flaxseed, sesame seeds, fruits, and veggies. Then you can think about mind-body techniques to reduce menopausal symptoms by reducing stress and improving mood. Meditation, yoga, sky breathing, all these can help. And finally, your lifestyle changes, the six pillars of lifestyle medicine should always get you through these difficult moments. Your nutrition plant-based, your exercise, at least, 5 days in a week, 30 minutes a day, or moderate strenuous exercise, sleep 7 to 9 hours, learn how to handle stress, avoid abusive substances, and finally, have a good social support. So my take-home final thoughts are what? Is pay attention to this. Women should be more aware that heart disease is a leading cause of death among them, surpassing all cancers combined. The awareness right now is only 44%. So go out there and tell your friends, your family, your colleagues, so go ahead and do that. Number two, recognize the subtle and vague symptoms which I talked about. These are vague symptoms in women. Do not ignore the out-of-the-blue issues which I talked about. That is important. Something that you have not felt suddenly comes in, does not go. You're walking around, it's still getting worse. Warning sign. Women can experience heart attacks even without blockages in the coronary arteries due to tiny blood vessels, microvascular blockages. And then compared, if a woman has a positive stress test and an angiogram shows no artery blockages, but you still have experienced persistent shortness of breath and chest pain, testing for coronary microvascular blockage is advised. High blood pressure, diabetes during pregnancy can increase the risk of future cardiovascular issues. So does menopause. It is important for women to ensure the symptoms are taken seriously by their doctors and to empower them so that they can advocate for themselves more strongly. Compared with men, women tend to have symptoms more often when resting or even when asleep. Emotional stress plays a greater role in women than in men. Silent heart attacks, I told you, are more common in women. And women are more likely than men to have a heart attack with no severe blockages in the coronary arteries, which is called the non-obstructive coronary artery disease. And therefore, birth control pills. Again, ask your doctor, but they can cause blood clots, which can lead to heart attack or stroke, particularly in women over 35 years and who smoke and who have high blood pressure. Estrogen, in my opinion, should not be used to protect the heart after menopause. For symptoms, discuss with your doctor because there are more chances of getting blood clots, strokes, and cancer. There are certain new breakthroughs in the war on heart disease. One is your cholesterol-smashing drugs. The second one I like, the biodegradable stents. These keep the arteries open long enough for medication and lifestyle changes to take place, then they dissolve. And the coronary computed tomography and angiography, CCTA, clearly. This has been approved by FDA, which certain centers in the U.S. are doing it for evaluating plaques, those plaques in the coronaries, to see the amount of plaque and the type of plaque. Why? Because hard plaques are relatively safe compared to soft plaques, which can rupture and cause a heart attack. That, my folks, is the end. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taylor. Oh, that was just wonderful. Green Warriors, click like, please, to show your appreciation for what Dr. Taylor shared with us today. And we are just, there are just so many things that we have learned today, and I have learned as well. And I would like to encourage the Green Warriors that if you have thinking about something that you learned today, what are you going to remember? You know, what is one of your takeaways for this presentation? And we're going to be taking some questions now from our Green Warriors. So go ahead and type them in the comments. I already have some questions that came through, and we're still going to take more questions if we have time. I did want to take another opportunity to tell everybody that this book that Dr. Taylor authored, Open Heart, we're going to be hosting a book giveaway. It's going to be beginning today. I'll be providing a link for that to give you a chance to win a copy of Dr. Taylor's Empowering Read. And so stay tuned for more details so we can spread this knowledge and inspiration. And we're going to move on to some questions and comments also. Okay. So Rochelle said, is ApoB, APOB, I think is how you say it, more important than LDL in terms of looking for heart disease?
Pardon me, I didn't get the question.
Okay, sure. So I'll put it up on the screen. I don't know if you can see it on the bottom. Is APOB, or is it, yeah, more important than LDL in terms of looking for heart disease? So I guess is that a test that you can have?
Rochelle, how are you? Rochelle, I know your question, the ApoB and the LDL cholesterol. Like I said, you know, that for a layperson and people, they should just look at their LDL. If the LDL is not going down with your whole food plant-based SOS diet, and some people taking statins, then you should look into breaking down the ApoB and A and lipoprotein, LP little a, and all the other things can come, even your HDL, what type it is, A or B. So all these things can be done secondary. But I think the LDL itself is more important, Rochelle. I know I have to come back to you because this question has been asked several times, and I promise you, Rochelle, I'm going to look deep into it and let you know. But generally speaking, it is your LDL, HDL, total cholesterol is for the time being. Most of the labs don't even do the breakups.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess we, you know, what's on our plate is even important too. And how we, and all the things that you talked about, mitigating stress and meditation, those are all things that are great. So if we're worrying about numbers, we should make sure that we have all the things that you discussed today.
Amy, can I stop sharing? I can see you then.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. Okay. Hello. I could see you, but Dr. Taylor couldn't see me because of the way we had things set up. So, and he's such a personable person that he wanted to see me, and that's nice. Okay. and as you were giving your presentation, Denise made a comment and said that she actually had a relative that thought he had a bad indigestion, and he suffered through it, but he was having heart attack. I'm just getting chills as I'm reading this.
Wow. Who had this? Yes.
Green Warriors, Denise, said she had a friend because she was thinking, I guess it prompted her to think about it during your presentation, that correct. She had a friend that, and so this is something, yeah.
it can happen to both men and women, but it is more common in women.
Yeah. Yeah.
This and, salient, wake symptoms that we don't.
And I remember that there was a book called Burnt Toast at one time. And the reason why it was, it symbolized what a lot of women do is they put themselves last. So if they were making toast and it burnt, they would eat the burnt toast and give everybody else the toast that didn't get burnt. And so often women put themselves last and they try to do so much for everybody. And that maybe they have some of these symptoms that you're talking about and they kind of just push it away because they're so busy caring for others. But, you know, we can't care for others if we don't take care of ourselves.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Any other question?
Oh, yeah. Well, first I wanted to, Denise had made a comment because she wanted to let everybody know that she has adopted a whole food plant-based lifestyle and she continues to, and she has more energy and feels so much better now. So I wanted to put that up because I want people to see this and be inspired by it. Okay. So let me see.
Thank you, Denise, for that, because it should now go even further, this message. Not only did my talk bring this out, Denise brought it out with an actual person. So that should really hit home.
Okay, yeah. So Rochelle wanted to know, what numbers do you want your cholesterol if you have heart disease?
You see, there was a study done that anybody who had a total cholesterol of 150 or less, and LDL, which was something like 70 or less, very little chance of getting a heart attack. So this is your cholesterol. Now, having said that, Rochelle, the lower the cholesterol, the better. Now, if your LDL is, say, at one point, a patient I knew had the LDL of 50. Excellent. But my point is the HDL has fluctuated in our thinking. I had 8 to 9 patients who had HDL of 100. All 9 of them were women. And I used to kid with them that you may die of a common cold, but not of a heart attack. But the point I'm making is that we believe that very high HDLs are also detrimental to our cardiac health. So it should be in the vicinity. Your total cholesterol should be, in my opinion, your total cholesterol should be below 180. If you don't have anything, no heart disease, or if your heart disease is there, it should be below 150 or 150. And your LDL should be, according to the American Heart Association, less than 70. The lower it goes, the better. If you don't have a heart disease, they say lower than 100. I don't believe this. The lower, the better, especially the total cholesterol and LDL.
Thank you for that. That's something that a lot of people have been thinking about. And there are some people that are just really struggle to get it to that number. And
tell them to go, if they tell them to go to my recordings on YouTube. I have a whole recording done on cholesterol.
Mm.
Okay. They can listen to that, you know.
Yeah, because there are some little tweaks that we can do in as far as that goes.
Don't very much depend on your cholesterol. I always tell this to people, that if your cholesterol is a bit high and you are following a whole food plant-based, no oil or SOS, no salt, oil or sugar, then your endothelium is healthy. So it is not disrupting your endothelium. So your cholesterol is going on smoothly. So the whole idea is that change your lifestyle before wondering about your cholesterol and other things.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Because being 100% is kind of rare, and we're trying to get more and more people to take this seriously. So if they're really concerned about those numbers, go 100%, and then let's see, you know, if that can help you also. Emily said, I've been diagnosed with high blood pressure, but I'm not sure how it might affect my heart health as a woman. Can you explain the connection and any steps I should take to manage it?
First of all, it will affect you because high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, smoking are all risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So you have a risk. What happens with a high blood pressure? High blood pressure is when your heart has to beat harder because your arteries are now become, they're not elastic anymore. So your heart has to do more work, and therefore your blood pressure increases, number one. Now, the steps you should take is, first of all, don't go to a doctor's office when they're all so busy and put your arm and then put it over your sleeve and take your blood pressure. No. Get up in the morning, okay? During sleep, your blood pressure is the lowest. So you cannot take blood pressure during sleep. So you get up in the morning, and the first thing you do is empty your bladder, go over there, put both your feet on the ground, sit comfortably on your chair without the sleeve on your arm, take the blood pressure in the right arm and the left arm. That is your true blood pressure, because it can fluctuate. You go to a doctor's office, you see the white coat, you go to the doctor's office, there's too much traffic. So your blood pressure will fluctuate, will go up and down. But that is your true blood pressure. That is what your arteries are. If that is high on repeated occasion, then you should worry about it. Now, if it is, say, 140 over 90, you have a high blood pressure. So first you do is a whole food plant-based diet and cut down salt. Remember, you are supposed to have how much of salt? American Heart Association says 2.5 grams of salt. Average American takes how much of salt? 3.5 grams. I say take 1 gram. So, or 1.5. So cut down your salt, number one. Number two, if you're obese, your whole food plant-based diet will automatically make you reduce, because it is nutrient dense and you don't have to watch what you eat. In my opinion, don't go in for Ozempic and all that, even though people have lost weight. The reason is they're very, very expensive and we don't know the long-term effects. So do that and understand. The third thing is that stress. So if you're looking at your six pillars, think of it. Diet is taken care of with a low salt and a whole food plant-based. Exercise, even in menopause, the one thing that the American Heart Association says is exercise. And when you do exercise, it is not just general activity, but purposeful activity. Purposeful activity meaning that you do all muscle strengthening, aerobic exercises, to get flexible more, balance exercises. All these should be done. Once you do that, then think of sleep. Are you getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep? If not, go to my talk on sleep. It is given. It's 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Once you do that, then talk about your sympathetic nervous system overdrive on a chronic basis. That means your cortisol levels are high, your stress levels is high, chronic stress. What does chronic stress do? It's inflammatory. And you are eating more, you're getting more weight, you're getting diabetic, you're getting high blood pressure. So that is very important with meditation, yoga, religion, spirituality. Then you come across, are you having any substance abuse? Are you smoking? Are you drinking too much? Are you having any, most of your listeners will not be having street drugs, but even prescription drugs. And a patient of mine comes at times, and this is true, they've been taking Motrin, ibuprofen for 20, 30 years. They come with their blood pressures going skyrocketing and the kidneys are failed. So these are prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs, which can do. So avoid that. And finally, when you think about it, a nice supportive system. And for your stress, give support. That is much better because you forget your own problems. And you take support is good. I'm not saying don't, but give that support. You know the blue zones. The people live because of the support system. They live more than 100 years. So if you follow the six principles, then you're likely that your blood pressure will come to normal without medication.
Yes, very well said. Very well said. And I hope that this is giving people some motivation, especially because of so many of the silent things that could be happening that we're not even aware of. So just because you don't feel it, that doesn't mean that things aren't happening. So I hope this really reinforces everybody's commitment.
And don't blame it on your genetics, please. Because that's only 10 to 20% of your health outcome. If you have got certain things like I have, a Wolff Parkinson-White syndrome, sounds like a horror movie and all that, but it is a conduction defect in my heart. That you can't do. You can ablate it, but I didn't. It did not require. But also that little LP little A. Now I found out, I think Rochelle told me this, that a whole food plant-based diet can bring down your LP little A. So that is, again, an important thing in bringing down. So I have, these are things may not be able to change, but blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, high cholesterol, these are all man-made. These are chronic diseases. They all have a few things in common. Oxidative process, inflammatory process, overstimulation of the sympathetic nervous system, causing a lot of stress. Your telomeres are getting shortened and your gut bacteria are screwed up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, and so much of it is in our control, and that's the good news, right?
Because absolutely.
Yeah, that is definitely the good news. Well, Green Warriors, please click like to show your appreciation for what Dr. Taher shared with us today. And Dr. Taher, can you please tell us about what you do and how we can find you on social media?
Well, I do have, if you go akiltaher.com, that can take you to my website, and everything over there is there, how you can get my monthly talks, how you can get this thing, my books. And one small thing, Amy, if I may, over here, people can buy the books, but please, if you can, just write a review, one line, two lines, because the whole thing is that it increases the credibility of the book and the sellability, because everything goes to charity. To my wife's charity, that is PETA, and mine is St. Jude's. So the idea is that if you write this thing, and trust me, I'm not asking you to give me 5 stars or 4 stars. Please write any review you want. I will not mind it. It can be good. It can be bad. It can be ugly, but I don't care. But write a review, please.
Yes. And because there's so much that we need to do to get this word out to everyone. Please. And writing this review is not just going to help Dr. Taher's book, but it's going to help raise awareness of this critical information, and people really need to know about it. And so I just wanted to encourage everybody to go ahead and do that. That's a really great thing to do. Well, a heartfelt thank you to Dr. Akil Taher for sharing your expertise and insights with us today. Your dedication to women's heart health and advocacy for plant-based nutrition has truly inspired us all. And everybody, we give applause by clicking like. So give a quick like, a round of applause to Dr. Taher for his invaluable contributions to our discussion. And Dr. Taher, let's give a take-home message to our Green Warriors. What do you want to say?
My main important thing today is make heart disease, which is a number one killer for women and men, just be more aware. to see that it was rising and then after 2009 it has gone down really saddens me and shocks me. So if all your listeners can tell 50 other people, we will be in a better shape and things will get better.
Very well said. And that's what we're all about. Dr. Taylor's about that. That's why he came on the broadcast. That's what I'm about, just getting this word out for this healthy lifestyle so that we can try to help as many people as we can. And Green Warriors, tell us what you're going to remember. What is your takeaway from today's presentation? Put it in the comments so that when people come across this broadcast, they can see what we've learned. One of my takeaways is about women's heart disease is that women are more likely to have non-obstructive heart disease, coronary artery disease. So that's so important to think about. I also wanted to thank Jess Tass Voice. She did the countdown and she did the promos. And Jess Tass Voice, tell us who is coming up next.
Ready to boost your strength and well-being? Join certified personal chef Vicky Brett Gock for a quick, easy, and nutritious post-workout meal demo. Then, fitness expert Angela Fischetti will guide you through the benefits of strength training, explaining compound movements with practical instructions to kickstart your fitness journey safely. Tune in for a powerhouse episode that will have you feeling your absolute best, Wednesday, February 28th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Be Green with Amy Live.
Well, talk about your pillars of health. We're going to knock two of them out of the ballpark on that day.
Wow. I love Angela.
Isn't she something? She's just such a special human. And she's been on the show so many times doing so many workouts.
Absolutely.
From beginner to advanced. And I even have a playlist that features them so that people can just go right to it.
Remarkable woman.
Yeah.
Well, so are you.
Go ahead.
So are you. You're doing a great job, you know, spreading this lovely message. And that's remarkable too.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you, Dr. Taylor. And I want to give a big shout out to you, my incredible Green Warrior, for joining us today. Your passion for plant-based nutrition and commitment to women's heart health has made this discussion truly inspiring. So let's continue to spread the awareness and support each other and make positive changes for our hearts and our planet. I thank you so much, Green Warrior, for being a part of this empowering community. And please stay tuned for more empowering discussions. And remember, your journey to a healthier plant-based lifestyle is a powerful step toward overall well-being. Thank you, Dr. Taylor, and thank you, Green Warrior. And Green Warrior, as a special thank you to you, I am offering you 5 free recipes. And if you go ahead and go to my website, begreenwithamy.com/join, and you can get 5 free recipes from me with tofu plant-based, SOS-free, and they taste delicious also. I want to invite everybody to go ahead and take your right hand and grab your left shoulder and take your left hand and grab your right shoulder. Now squeeze, because that's a hug from me to you, and that will get your blood pressure down too, especially if you take a deep breath while you're doing it. And if you would like to join me and Dr. Taylor, comment below my tagline. Are you ready, Dr. Taylor?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, until I see all of you again, remember, be strong, be well, and be
green.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taylor. Thank you, Green Warriors. Bye-bye, everyone.
Love all of you.
Now you can get 5 free whole food plant-based SOS-free recipes from Be Green with Amy. Just click on the link in the show notes and Amy will send you 5 free recipes, motivational quotes, and more so you can be strong, be well, and be green.
Thank you so much.